This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. The atomic bombs that ended World War II killed over 100, perhaps over 200,000 people. Over the past generation, there's been a revisionist debate. Did the United States drop two atomic bombs to avoid a land invasion that might have killed a million Americans and millions of Japanese? Or did they drop the bomb to avoid the Soviet Army coming in and sharing the spoils of conquering Japan or for some other geopolitical goal? Were the prospects of a land invasion even more destructive than the opening of the nuclear age? D.M. Jean Greco, who was an editor for Military Review, has written a new book that takes advantage of declassified materials in both the United States and Japan to try to answer those questions. It's published by the Naval Institute Press and called Hell to Pay, Operation Downfall and the Invasion of Japan, 1945-1947. Mr. Jean Greco joins us from member station KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, glad to be here.
Help us understand what U.S. military planners had to look at as they contemplated a land invasion of Japan in 1943. Because as you suggest in this book, there were even some military units that were U.S. units that were held back from possible action in Berlin because it was understood they'd have to be sent to the Pacific.
Right. There was a very, very tight timetable. And everything had to work in terms of shipping, you know, the movement of troops, because there was clearly not enough forces in the Pacific to be able to carry this off.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we should explain, at least at that point in their planning, the participation of other Allied forces would have been limited, including Great Britain, France, Canada. For that matter, the Soviet Union, because they had been fighting the war longer than the United States, and they had just won and had to get back to life.
Well, yes, that's exactly right. What they were essentially looking at for the invasion of Japan was what would functionally be a duplication of the casualty surge in Europe that was principally driven by combat in Europe, that would be repeated in the Pacific. And that was not a pleasant prospect.
Let me get to another aspect, if I could. In history, it is often said that war planners had projected that a land invasion of Japan would have cost the lives of a million U.S. soldiers and many more Japanese. Where does that figure come from, and does it seem right to you?
Well, you have to remember that these figures are basically put together by planning staff's best guess from, you know, say the terrain, the number of units that are going to be fielded, the number of enemy units that they're going to have to fight. And as early as middle part of 1944, when we started getting a pretty firm grasp of just how casualties were playing out, and they ultimately came to the conclusion that the casualties on the low end would be somewhere in the neighborhood perhaps of, say, about 250,000, and on the upper end in through the million range.
Mm-hmm. Someone who reads your book has struck time and time again how the Americans and the Japanese looked at the same experience and derive totally different conclusions. The invasion and battles of Okinawa and Iwo Jima were ruinous in terms of casualties, for the Japanese even more than the Americans. The Americans extrapolated from that information, well, the battles were bloody and costly, but in the end it was worth it because the Japanese now understand that we are going to prevail. The Japanese looked at those same numbers and said, well, the battles were bloody and costly, but they were worth it because it gave us more time to prepare for the defense of our homeland, and the Americans must know we are prepared to suffer casualties at a rate they are not.
Yes, these are the same people who, after two atomic bombs and the Russian entry into the war, were still saying, no, we can do this because we're still going to be able to, like, force them to invade because they surely can't have more atomic bombs.
What about the argument, Mr. Jean Greco, that in 1945, Japan was essentially defeated, even if they didn't know it?
Well, certainly there's a lot to that argument. But defeat and surrender are two very different things. Like, if
the,
you
the,
use
the
that
point of that being a nation might be defeated, but until they surrender, that perception is kind of useless.
Well, yes. I think that it is quite reasonable to argue that they would have been even harder to convince than the Germans. The Germans at least surrendered in fairly large numbers when they saw a hopeless situation. But the only time you ended up getting large numbers of Japanese to surrender was basically in Manchuria when the emperor said, "Surrender now." And for the first time in the war, you actually started getting, you know, large numbers of Japanese laying down their arms.
In your appendix, toward the end of the book, you have a very moving letter written by James Michener.
Oh, yes.
The novelist, who we sometimes forget, began his writing career, Tales of the South Pacific, which was made, of course, into a famous musical, ultimately. James Michener was from a Quaker background. He was a man of peace. And he wrote a letter, October 20 of 1995, essentially saying there was no alternative to the end of World War II the way the U.S. ended it. But he didn't let that letter be released until after his death, did he?
Well, no. It much to the frustration of a couple friends of his, but for his own personal reasons, he really did not feel that he could let his views be public.
He says in this letter, "I know if I went public with my views, I would be condemned and ridiculed." But recollecting his time in the South Pacific, he said, "I stood there on the lip of the pulsating volcano, and I know that I was terrified at what might happen and damned relieved when the invasion became unnecessary. I accept the military estimates that at least 1 million lives were saved, and mine could have been one of them."
Yep, there's a lot of Americans and Japanese who are alive today because we did not have to go in. It's astounding. While we were looking at some of our own casualty estimates, the Japanese military was doing much the same thing. And the figure of 20 million appears again and again.
20 million Japanese who would have been killed.
Yes. In some references, it is to Japanese killed. In others, it is to casualties.
Yeah.
But yes, the number is horrific. But the casualness with which it was used and that they felt it was worth it, it's just stunning to me when you go through some of this material.
Mr. Gingreco, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
D.M. Gingreco, the author of Hell to Pay, Operation Downfall and the Invasion of Japan, 1945-1947, joined us from member station KCUR in Kansas City, Missouri.